This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hello and welcome. I'm so glad to be with you this afternoon or this evening or this morning or whenever it is that you're listening. It's Thursday afternoon in my world, but just thought I'd give you the option of being wherever you are. I'm actually coming to you today from beautiful downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Normally I'm in Calgary, Canada, but I am in Kansas City for a conference this week, and I'm just looking out my window and it's snowing like crazy. And I thought maybe coming south I was going to get some spring, but wasn't to happen. But I had a really interesting experience happen when I came here. It was just like, wow, some really, really crazy things happened that, you know, could have tipped me off. And I was planning on writing my musings on the plane. And so that's what today's show is going to be about. Sort of how do you navigate when life throws some curveballs at you and just kind of not quite sure how to manage? Well, we're going to talk today about some ways that you can guarantee keep yourself on the upside of the line regardless of what happens. I'm going to tell you a story about what happened to me. Well, I made my way from Calgary to Kansas City. It's kind of a goofy one, but grab yourself a cup of tea or maybe a glass of water, and we're going to be doing some repatterning today. Flipping the Switch comes from the title of my book, which is Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thoughts. If this is your first time listening, you may not be aware of the term belief repatterning, and that's because it's a term that I coined to describe a technique that I began working with about 25 years ago now. I was really, really ill, and I knew that there was a mind-body connection. I knew that what I thought about made a difference, and I knew that I needed to keep positive. But boy, it was hard when the news was coming down that was coming down. And so my background is in education. I have a master's degree in curriculum design and how we learn. So I looked at it, instead of being a medical problem to solve, I looked at it as an educational problem. And I knew how to create educational solutions. So I thought, how would I teach myself to be well? How would I teach myself to think positively so that my body could then heal? Because I knew that there was that connection. Now, I don't know about you, but I had got so frustrated I love personal development work. I love all of the authors and radio show hosts on CTR Network and on Hay House Radio, where I was for a year as well. My book is published through Hay House. And I loved all of that information. Really wanted to believe it. Really wanted to make it happen. But I just could not figure it out. I thought everybody else knew how to think positively. And I just missed out on that somehow. And I thought, how would I teach myself to do this? Because when you're in the midst of a challenge, it's really hard to come up with a positive thought. And we're going to talk a little bit about why that happens in just a minute. But before we get there, I just want to encourage you to know that you can and will, and in fact, already probably are, repatterning anything that you choose to. So when people ask me, can you repattern this or that? The answer is always yes. Because you see, it's not what happens to you, it's your perception on what happens to you. And you can always shift perceptions. Viktor Frankl wrote a book in 1945-ish called Man's Search for Meaning. It was just after the Second World War. He'd been interned, and he was a Jewish psychiatrist practicing in Germany when the Second World War broke out. And so he and his entire family were taken to a concentration camp where they were subjected to some pretty horrific things. And his conclusion at the end of the war was that everything can be taken from us. Every dignity, every material possession, You know, everything can be taken. We can be completely stripped down. But the one thing that absolutely no one can take away from you, and that is your ability to determine your attitude in any given set of circumstances. Your ability to determine your attitude in any given set of circumstances. So that became the beginning, really, of modern psychology, where we realized that we do have dominion over our thoughts. We can, in fact, change our attitude at any given point in time. And I know, because I hear it all the time, people are saying, well, I can't help it. That's just what happens. It's just, I can't help myself. Well, actually, you can. It's hard. It's hard to do it when you're in the middle of something. But if you do a little proactive training, a little, you know, get yourself going when you're in a good space, you can actually train your subconscious mind to do it for you. You can train your subconscious mind to go to the positive for you. So let me share with you a little story about what happened to me this week. And, you know, it's really fun. I completely believe in the efficacy of this work. I know it works. I've seen it work. I've experienced it working. And it always works. Maybe not instantaneously all the time, but it always kicks in. And it kicks in faster than if you've not done the proactive work. And before you get all concerned about it, the proactive work doesn't have to take hours and years of study. You can simply begin training your subconscious mind in the moments during the day when you aren't doing anything. And you're going, oh, but wait a minute, Suze, you don't know how busy I am. I've got a million things on the go. Well, I understand that. All of us do. It's called the modern world. It seems that there's no longer a moment where you don't have a text binging you or an email coming in or a phone call happening or somebody requiring your support or assistance. Things are always happening. And yet you can and will, and in fact already are, repatterning your thoughts right now as we speak. As new information comes in, we take it in and we put it into the structure that we have in our minds that was started actually before we were even born. So that's what we're going to be talking about today during today's show. And I'm looking forward to hearing from any of you that would like to call in. And I'm going to give you the phone number in just a second. So grab yourself a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil so that you can grab this phone number so that you can call in live. It's 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. And I'd love to have your company today on the show, whether it be with a question about how you might have navigated something in the past, how you might navigate something that's coming up that you're feeling a bit nervous about, any questions you've got about belief repatterning or things that you've heard, or if you'd like to do some repatterning with me, happy to do that as well. In fact, if you're just sitting there and thinking, I should send an email to Suze and let her know how this has affected me, well, pick up the phone and call in, because I would love to hear your stories of how repatterning has changed and shaped your life. So that number again is 877-230-3062. 877-230-3062 is a toll-free number. Kiara will take your name, first name, where you're from, and she'll also ask you for your email address. And the reason for that is because we'll send you a special offer. After the show, I'll send you a little note, and you can choose one of our online seminars. We'll send you the MP3 complimentary just for calling in on the show. So would love to chat with you today. Let's go to the experience that I had on Tuesday. So those of you who listened to the show last week knew that I was having some challenges with my voice, and you can probably hear it still a little bit rough. But I had got that kind of bug that jumps on you all 4 feet. And I don't get sick very often, but I think just all of the things that had happened over the last month and a bit was pretty stressful. And once things calm down, sometimes that's when your body goes, okay, I just need a really good rest here. And I thought I was taking pretty good care of myself, but at any rate, I got a bug. And it happened last week when I just didn't have time to really give myself some time off. I had a couple of workshops I was giving and a couple of keynotes at a conference and the radio show, and I was emceeing another event, and I pushed my voice too far. So I ended up having no voice at all for 4 days. Now, people that know me well all kind of giggle because, well, I like to chat. I like to talk. I like to be in conversation. And so I became much more observational during that time frame. But I knew that I was flying to Kansas City, and I thought, great. I was going in a day ahead of the conference, and I thought, I'll get to Kansas City. It's an annual conference, so I knew the hotel that I was going to be in, and I thought, oh, it'll be one of those great, big, beautiful, king-size beds with really nice sheets and a big duvet comforter. And there's a really nice spa there, and I can go for a steam, and I can crawl into bed, and I'll have a really nice nap once I get there mid-afternoon on Tuesday. Well, I got up early, before 5 o'clock, to leave my home to get to the airport in time. And it was a crazy day at the airport, lots going on. And then I realized it was the day after what we have family day in Alberta, but it's a holiday throughout parts of Canada, and I know in the States it's a holiday as well. And so the airport was really busy. And so it was one of those, you know, get through security and run for the plane and get there just as they're closing the doors. And I got on the plane and I settled and I thought, oh, I'm going to have a great nap from Calgary to Toronto, which I did. I slept. That's about a three hour and 45 minute flight, almost 4 hour flight. And I slept about 3 hours of it. I felt really refreshed when I got to Toronto, and I came off the plane all bouncy and excited and thinking, well, I feel better and I'll have another little nap between Toronto and Kansas City. And then I'll be in that nice, nice, quiet hotel room. Could just relax. I came off the plane and I looked up at the screen, and under Kansas City, it said canceled. Well, I knew that they hadn't canceled the whole city, but clearly my flight was canceled, not rescheduled, not delayed. Canceled. And for those of you who travel a lot, you know that that is just what you do not want to see. So I looked at that and I thought, well, I could get upset, or I could just go with the flow, relax, and realize that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that I really, my getting upset is not going to change what's going to happen. And in fact, my staying calm may very well change what's going to happen. So I'm not suggesting that with belief repatterning, you could actually conjure up an airplane. But I wandered over to the customer service, and a nice gal there by the name of Margaret asked if she could help me. And I said, I'm sure that you can, Margaret. I'm scheduled to go to Kansas City. And she said, oh, that's been canceled today. And we only have, it's a horrible place to try to get people in and out of from Toronto. And I said, I understand you only have one flight a day. And she said, well, let's get you on the flight for tomorrow. Well, the whole reason I'd gone in a day early is because I know that that flight was going to be full with people going to the exact same conference that I was going to. So I waited, and she said, oh my goodness, that flight is full. There's just one seat. And I said, well, let's book it for me. And then I said, and then can we check and see if there's other options? Because I'd really like to get there tonight. And she said, oh, sure. So we booked it. She said, how did you know it was going to be full? So I told her about the conference, and we were just having a nice chat. I said, you know, I really, really hope that we can get me there a day early. And she said, well, let's see what we can do. Well, the next thing you know, I was booked to go to Philadelphia. Well, I kind of chuckled to myself because I thought everybody knows to go from Western Canada to the Midwest of the United States, the closest way is to go through an Eastern Seaboard city. So I asked her, I said, will I be getting additional Aeroplan miles for this? And she said, yes, you will. And I thought, well, great. That's nice. That's a nice bonus. And I thought, I can sleep on whatever airplane I'm on. So I thought I could get upset about this, or I could just, you know, relax and go with the flow. Well, she said, you're going to have to hurry. And if you get into customs and through security and it's lined up, you're going to have to let them know, because that flight is leaving really soon. And I just got you in on it. I said, perfect. So I get into the customs hall. And there's four customs guys, and they're all having a conversation about what kind of coffee that they want, because one of them is going to go get coffees. It was like right out of that first scene from L.A. Story. You know, I want a half-calf, decaf, mochaccino with extra sprinkles. And they were kind of oblivious to the fact that all of these people were standing in line. And I thought, I could get upset, or I could relax and just go with the flow. My getting upset is not going to make them start moving along any more quickly. So I just put a big smile on my face. Person beside me was like frustrated. And I said, what time's your flight? And his flight was like an hour later. I said, so you've got lots of time. I said, do you mind if I just pop in front of you? Because I got rerouted because my flight got canceled. And he said, oh, no, go ahead. And he said, you know, you're pretty happy for somebody who got rerouted. And I said, well, I just decided to go with the flow. The next person in front of him overheard and said, I've got lots of time, you can go ahead of me. And I made my way to the very front of the line, up about 20, 25 people, just by that first smile and that first request for what I really needed. So rather than getting all upset and frustrated, everybody else was like, oh, those guys are ordering coffee. I said, yeah, isn't it great? You know, it's such a cultural thing. And just kind of giggled my way to the front of the line. And that was super. Got through. And I was going through security, and I did the same thing in the security line. Made my way to the front, and I said to the gal, you know, I'm my flight. And she said, oh, you've got 9 minutes. So I'm standing there, stocking-footed, all of my jewelry in the bin, my computer in the bin, my jacket off, my scarf in the bin, all of that. And then she said, you got 9 minutes, you're fine. I'm like, 9 minutes, okay. So I got to the other side, I just grabbed everything and I ran as fast as I could run. Got there and they said, I'm really sorry, we've closed the gate. And I said, oh, and all of those people who let me in ahead of time. And I said, oh, they tried so hard to help me get here. And she said, well, you know, you should have given yourself more time. And I said, well, I would have, excepting I'd been rescheduled. Oh, you were rescheduled. Yeah, my flight was canceled. Big smile on my face. And she said, oh, hang on a minute. Well, the next thing you know, I'm being escorted down the ramp and onto the plane, even though it had already been closed off. All it takes is a smile instead of getting frustrated. I just went with the flow. So we got to Philadelphia, and of course the flight was delayed. And it was delayed again. Was delayed a third, but that gave me time to write the musings and reflect on this incredibly fun day that I'd had, just smiling at people. I slept all the flights. I think I was in the air for 12 hours. I was en route for 16 and a half hours, and I think I slept for about 10 of them. I got here feeling really, really good, although the air on the airlines did make my throat a little bit rough. But you have a choice always about how you respond to the situation. I could have got irritated. Everybody else was. I could have let their mood affect me. I could have let the fact that I wasn't feeling all that well affect me. But when I'm in that place, I've just trained myself to go into what I call the Gandhi state. Just happy, mellow, and believing that it's all going to work out perfectly. Well, it did. And on the last stretch, I had not one seat, but two seats to myself, and I could stretch out and have a really good nap, which was great because it was almost as long as my first flight. It was like 3.5 hours. So I got lots of air miles. Well, then I got to my destination only to discover, oh, I know you can hear it coming. My luggage didn't arrive with me. And I just started to laugh. I thought, I barely made the flight. How could I expect my luggage to make the flight? And the agent was there at the baggage racks, and she said, what flight? And I told her, and she said, well, it's me you have to talk to. Come on in. And started filling out the forms. And she said, I've never seen anybody be so happy that their luggage was lost. I said, I'm not happy that my luggage is lost. I said, I just think it's funny because I barely made it. How in heaven's name we could expect my luggage to as well. And normally I travel with carry-on. But because I was coming to this conference and I knew I was going to be going home with a lot of extra stuff, I thought, oh, I better take a bigger suitcase. So I paid the extra for the suitcase. And I literally had with me what I had put on, you know, 16 hours earlier at home. and I had my, you know, water bottle and a reading book and my computer, and that was about it. So she gave me some toiletries and then chatted a bit more. And then she said, I'm going to give you this form and you're going to need to go shopping because the earliest that your things are going to get here will be tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And if you haven't heard from us by 10:30, you need to go shopping because that means that your things never left Canada. So they won't be coming down until that flight that doesn't get in until 5 o'clock. By the time they get your stuff to the hotel, it'll be 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. So you're going to have to go shopping. Well, isn't that just too bad? So yesterday morning, I didn't hear from them. So I went shopping and I got myself a new outfit, all because I was able to keep my thoughts on the upside of the line. So not only did I get air miles, not only did I have great naps, but I got a good story and a new outfit. And when I went shopping, everything was on sale. It's just been a really fun experience. I took what could have been irritating and frustrating and had fun with it. Furthermore, I've been telling a couple of people the story, and I ended up getting taken out for dinner last night by a group who thought the story was really fun and invited me to come with them. And somebody said, oh, you had such a rough day yesterday. Let me buy you dinner. Your attitude determines what comes back to you as surely as anything else. If you're snarly, you're going to get it back. But if you can smile, you'll get it back as well. Now, here's the thing. Trying to get yourself there when things are going sideways is a bit of a challenge. So after the break, we're going to come back and talk to you about how you can proactively train your mind to go to that upside of the line. While we're on break, just think about a time where things kind of went sideways and where maybe a different attitude, a different response. Oh, you know what? It's too hard to do it for yourself. Let's think about somebody that you work with or a child or your partner. I know that there's been times when you've asked them to try on a different attitude. So after the break, we're going to work with your subconscious mind to help you try on a new attitude, and not only try it on, but have it be your new normal way of being. I'm Suze Casey. You're listening to Flipping the Switch, and we'll talk to you in a couple of minutes right after this break. My grand used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore.
Are you ready to integrate belief repatterning into your everyday way of being? Discover effective ways to flip your switch between your own inner critic and inner coach. Changing your thoughts changes your behavior and creates the outcomes you desire personally, professionally, physically, and spiritually. Join me for the teleseminar. Over 3 weeks, you'll receive focused, individualized, coached practice time, and we'll walk through the book. I'll support you with more practical suggestions. Your $99 investment also gives you access to our learning center and recordings of all the calls. For upcoming dates and to register, visit beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com, or call 403-286-9380. Learn how your inner thoughts and self-talk affects your behavior, your energy, and the energy of others. You can and will repattern anything you choose.
make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. So I promised you before the break that we would talk a little bit about how you can proactively train that brilliant mind of yours to do the positive thinking for you. So let's start with that. If you received the newsletter today, you would have noticed that the title was Up, Up, and Away. And that's exactly how I feel. It's just, you know, let's just move that attitude up. Let's just up it a notch. Let's just supersize it. Let's just, yeah, make it a whole lot easier on you. So the story and the musings, because I did it at the Philadelphia airport, and I'd never been to Philadelphia before. I did it while I was at the Philadelphia airport, but I didn't know at that point in time that my luggage had been lost. So it did catch up with me. It took another day and a bit. I got it later last night, and so was really, really pleased that I was able to go shopping and get a few things. You know, it was kind of nice. Anyway, do you know how to keep your thoughts on the upside? Most people don't. Most people just let circumstances knock you over. So I choose to relax. You can be frustrated or you can relax. I choose to relax. But when everything seems to be working against you, how do you manage? And I get this, people asking me this all the time. You don't know what it's like. And I'm like, actually, I do. Because I used to be in that place where I would let the attitudes of others affect me. I would let the circumstances of others affect me. And it's not that I don't care. It's that I become observational and I decide how I would like to feel, how I want to respond. And there's times, do I ever get angry? Yes. But it's usually a decision. It usually doesn't like knock me off the rails. It's usually a decision for me to give an angry response and then immediately back it up with something more solid. And it usually happens with, you know, sorry, I got angry there for a moment, but let's focus on what's going on here so we can solve it. It's really, really hard when you stay in a calm place for anybody else to keep pushing against you, because it's just like the bully. They can't kick you if you don't react, if you don't go to that same level. Energy likes to find its own level. So if you keep your energy high, your emotions solid, yourself in that kind of calm, go with the flow place, things will start to flow around you. So one of the ways that you can be proactive about this is to do some repatterning statements. So let's do just a general one. Think about a time where you can be, where you've been frustrated. You'll find that I'm going to use the example of being at the airport, but you can change up your statements as we're doing them so that it fits. So think of a time that you were frustrated. Maybe you're frustrated right now. And think about what could have happened or what might happen by staying calm. And when we get to that part of the statements, I'll let you fill in your own examples, because the more specific that you can make that is the better. So I forgive myself for believing that getting frustrated or out of sorts helps. I know it doesn't. So I'll get you to repeat that one with me. I forgive myself for believing that getting frustrated or out of sorts helps. It doesn't. And breathe that in through your nose and let it out through your mouth. I give myself permission to go with the flow, relax, and be productive. I give myself permission to go with the flow, relax, and be productive. And breathe that one in. Now, I decided that what I wanted to do was be productive. And so I could have just, you know, done my Sudoku puzzles or read a magazine or chatted with somebody beside me. But instead, I sat down and wrote the musings. So I decided I wanted to be productive instead of feeling like my time was getting wasted. So my subconscious mind will automatically, when something happens, it'll go, how am I feeling? And what's the opposite that I'd rather have? So I was feeling like I was wasting time. And it was like, what's the opposite of that? Being productive. Okay. So I flipped it around. I can be frustrated or I can relax and be productive. I can be frustrated or I can relax and be productive and breathe that in. Either way, I will arrive at my destination at the same time. So this would be either way, what's going to happen? You know, the sun's going to come up tomorrow. The plane's gone. Like whatever it is that's frustrating you, it doesn't matter if you're frustrated or go with the flow. Something's going to happen at the end of it. So either way, I will come home and get a hug from my sweetie. Or either way, I'm going to eat dinner later anyway. Or you just whatever specific thing that you can do that's just going to be like, yeah, it doesn't matter which. I can be upset or I can be not upset. But either way, this is going to still happen. So something that you know is going to happen ultimately. I chose I'll get to my destination at the same time. So I can be frustrated or I can relax and be productive. Either way, I will put in your own specific example and then make the choice. I choose to relax and be productive. Okay? I'm hoping that the way that I'm describing how to change up these statements is helpful to you. I know that sometimes people think that it's kind of a magic wand, and it's a little bit, it's less paint by number and a little bit more plug and play, a little bit more fill in the spots with what fits for you, because you want these statements to be more of a conversation rather than a recitation. And so the more personal that you make them with the more specific examples that fit for you, much more effective. So I then move into the freedom statements after the choice. I'm free to relax and use the experience in my musings. And that makes the time productive. You see, I was sitting on the plane thinking about what was I going to write about? And I had thought I would do something around being your own best Valentine that we talked about last week. And how did that go for people? And then I was just, it just didn't kind of gel. And I thought, oh, I'll have a nap and something will come to me. And lo and behold, it did, because I was relaxed. I just let things come. So let's make a specific example for you. I'm free to relax and use this experience. So whatever's frustrating you, how can you use that experience? And then for me, I said that makes the time productive, because productive was how I wanted to feel. Okay? So you make it work for you. I know what it's like to relax and be productive at an airport lounge. Everyone else is standing in line tapping their foot while I'm completing this. So it was really funny because they called for it and everybody's standing around and looking at their watches, huffing and puffing and being frustrated. I was just sitting there relaxed and finishing off the musings. And it was just like, wow. And I started again thinking about the number of times that I have wasted times being upset. You know, you're never going to get those moments back. You know, every moment you spend in frustration is a moment you will lose forever to being relaxed. You can never get it back. So we'll finish off these statements. I know what it's like to relax and be productive. I did it when you fill in your specific example. And then the surrender statement, the I am statement. I am relaxed and productive. And I know that a beautiful down duvet is waiting for me to arrive. So I added in something that just really raised my vibration. I am relaxed and productive and know, and just, you want to just spice it up for yourself so that it really, really gets your energy moving up. Now, you do these kinds of statements once or twice a day, and the book Belief Repatterning has examples in every chapter. I think it's about 30 different examples of sample statements. Or you can get them from the, every week I do at least one set of repatterning statements, usually two or three. And you just fill in what works for you. So that's one way you can repattern things. But there's lots and lots of other ways that you can train your subconscious mind to do it for you. I was reminded of one, and I know regular listeners are going to say, oh, this one again, but it really works. It's just so simple. It doesn't cost any money, and it works so well. I'm at a big conference, as I mentioned earlier in the show, great big convention center, lots of doorways. And I saw some people yesterday, and they went, wow, every time I see you, you're smiling. Well, that's because I've trained my subconscious mind to smile whenever I walk through a doorway. And so when I'm at a big convention center or a big space, I always walk through a doorway and I smile. I've trained my mind to do that. And it's easy to do. Just the next time you're in a big place like a school or a convention center or a mall that's got doorways, just consciously do it a couple of times. Walk through a doorway, put a great big grin on your face, just like you got the biggest secret going, and feel that little kind of tingle in your body. Now, you might feel a little bit weird, and that's okay. You have your choice. You can feel weird or you can feel excited and tingly. I choose excited and tingly, and I really don't care what other people think. They're going to think, oh, she's happy, or they're going to think, oh, what's she happy about? Doesn't matter. I'm happy. And if I'm not happy, I'm letting my body go. Let's smile and see what's going to happen next. Do that for a couple of times, maybe, you know, 5 minutes consciously. Do that for a couple of days, and you will find that it becomes a habit because your physical body likes the chemical compound that smiling creates, and it doesn't like the chemical compound that being upset creates. So then your body is going to be on side with you. Now, another way that you can do it, hopefully you're drinking water frequently. I just stopped and had a sip. Most North Americans are chronically dehydrated. You can, oh, lots and lots of sirens outside. You can, taking a page from Dr. Emoto's work, know that water carries a vibration. So you could take your water bottle and write what you would like to experience more of. Now, I'm not talking about material things. I'd like to experience more money, or I'd like to experience more success. What's the feeling that you want to experience? Is it confidence? I'd like to experience more confidence, or I'd like to experience, it's probably not wealth, it's maybe security. Like, what is the feeling underneath what it is that you want? And write that word on your water bottle. And just believe that the energy of that feeling, when you look at it, think about it, think about something that makes you feel that way or someone you know who has that quality about them. So think about who you know that's really secure in themselves in a way that you'd like to be. Just think about that and then take a sip of the water. And what will happen is that your subconscious mind will begin to equate water with good, happy thoughts. It's a way that you can kind of do two things at once: increase the subconscious mind's ability to go to the upside and hydrate your body. And your body likes the water coming into it. And does this work with other liquids? See, the challenge with other liquids, beer, wine, Kool-Aid, pop, coffee, they all have a chemical composition to them that requires our body to process it before it can use it. So it actually makes our body work. So when you have coffee, the body needs to work at getting through the caffeine to the coffee. It's kind of like has to pry out the bits it can use. Whereas when you drink pure natural water, your body just kind of goes, oh, this is exactly what I need. And so it doesn't have to do any work. So it's best with water. You can do it with other things. Herbal teas work really well as well, or any kind of natural drink, although the sugars and juices and stuff can cause our body a little bit of having to process as well. But the clearer and cleaner you can do it, water's the best bet. So just associate good, solid, positive feelings with water. That way, you can almost always have water by, and you can then, when you're in a moment of decision and thinking about going a little bit sideways, have a sip of water, and your body will just calm down, come back to center, and be grounded, and you can move forward from there. If you have a question or a comment or something you'd like to repattern, I'd love to chat with you today. You can call in on 877 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. And we will talk about how to help you go to the up, up and away. So there's a couple of things that that whole experience reminded me of. That whole experience with the airport, I was reminded of, I will get there, just maybe not the most direct way. And that's kind of a life lesson. We will get where we want to go. There might just be a couple of false starts along the way or some circuitous bits. I can look and try to find the meaning of why all of that happened. And I could assign meaning to it, but it's just the meaning that I've assigned. There may be some great reason that I needed to go through those places, and maybe a smile that I gave to somebody changed their life, or I don't know. Or maybe it was as simple as, oh, I really wanted to go shopping in Kansas City, and the airlines provided me with that opportunity. I don't know what the real meaning of it all was, but I do know that I will get where I'm planning to go, just maybe not the most direct way, and maybe on somebody else's timetable besides mine. Another thing I was reminded of is I choose how I use my time. I choose my thoughts. I choose how my time is used. No one else chooses it for me. Now, you're going to say, oh, but the airlines chose that you couldn't be where you wanted to be. That's right. But given this set of circumstances, now what do I choose? So one of the things that I did when I was in Philadelphia, I'd never been to Philadelphia before. So I went to a restaurant and I ordered a Philly cheesesteak because I thought, when you're in Philadelphia, that's what you should eat. It was fine. I don't think I need to go back to Philadelphia for that reason. There's probably lots of other reasons to go to Philadelphia. But, you know, I decided I would experience that. Like, I never had a Philly cheesesteak in Philadelphia, so it seemed like the right thing to do. I get to choose how I spend my time, and so do you. We each have the same number of hours. Even though it may seem weird that other people seem to get way more hours or seem to be more productive, everyone's just choosing. So think about this for a moment. In fact, if you're listening and you can close your eyes, I'd like you to just close your eyes. And if you're listening and you're driving, don't close your eyes. Not a good idea. But if you're someplace where you can close your eyes for just a moment, close your eyes and think about how much energy you've used worrying about things, trying to make things different. And I'm not talking about the productive kinds of trying to make things different. I'm talking about the messing around, trying to force things to go a different way, pushing the river upstream, pushing a rock up a hill. Just imagine all the energy that you've used and the amount of time that you've spent on the downside of the line. Has it been an hour in the last 24 hours? Has it been 3 hours in the last 24 hours? I know that you were sleeping some of that time, but I can guarantee you if you go to bed being upset, your subconscious mind will continue to focus on that upset stuff while you're sleeping because the conscious mind is not there to ask it to do anything else. So it will just continue to run the program. So here's another way that you can train that subconscious mind of yours. Consciously, before you go to sleep at night, review positive things that have happened to you in that day. Put yourself on the upside of the line. Go to those feelings. If you've been using the word of the day, go to that word and look at how did you create that today? How did it manifest for you today? Go to sleep on the upside of the line. Then your subconscious mind will be spending the next 6-8 hours, however long you're asleep, focusing there. And when you focus there, you're going to create more of that. And that's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. All right. If you have been, I've had a couple of people contact me speaking of word of the day. That's another way you can train your subconscious mind using the 365 Repattern app. I have had a number of people contact me and they're saying, my app stopped working. Well, the 2014 one stopped working the end of January. So if you're wondering where it went, you do need to download the 2015 app. I'm not aware that there's any problems. I did have a couple of people mention that they were having some trouble with the 2015 app, but I think we've got that sorted out. So always it'll come up with words that you can focus on for the day and a little thing that you can think about. If you are having challenges with the app, do send me a note. Don't just say I'm having challenges with the app. I need to know what's happening, what the messages that you're receiving, and what kind of device you're on. If you don't have your data turned on, you won't get it because it sends that way. So I'm currently in the States, and because I want to make sure that my phone bill is something manageable when I get back home, I've turned my data roaming off. So I can't give you today's word of the day. I guess I could go into I can go into my files and find it for you, but whatever the word is, focus on that a couple of times during the day. And then as you're going to sleep at night, you can imagine where you have felt that way today. So let's just pick a word. I felt, let me think. Let's go for on path. So let's use on path. I forgive myself for believing it's hard to be on path, and breathe it in. I give myself permission to be more on path today. That's what I want. I like the feeling of being on path. Give myself permission to be more on path today. That's what I want. I like the feeling of being on path. I can stumble around or I can be on path, and I'm choosing consciously to be on path. Now, my monkey just said, oh, what would that look like? And I thought, I need to give a specific example. And that is the freedom stage is where you imagine what you could possibly do. So I'm free to be on path this afternoon by giving myself 10 minutes to plan what I'm going to do at the conference for the rest of the day. So I'm at a busy, busy conference, and I could just go out and wander around. Or if I spend a bit of time, I can get myself on path. So that's what I'm choosing to do. So give yourself a specific example of how you're going to do it. It could be as simple as I choose to be on path today by making sure that I eat properly and taking, you know, what I need out of the freezer so I can make a nutritious meal for myself. I choose to be on path today by completing that phone call before I leave work. Something simple, under 10 minutes, under $10. You want to make sure it doesn't cost any money, doesn't rely on anybody else. So you don't want to say, I choose to be on path by, you know, getting Martha to, excuse me, to do this for me. That won't work. I choose to be on path and give myself extra water to drink. Do it and then reinforce it. That keeps me on path, and I like that feeling. And I just got a nice little body rush when I had that sip of water because I've trained my subconscious mind to do it for me. All right. So a couple of ideas. Let's finish off. The affirmations would be sometime that you were on path. So I know what it feels like to be on path. It happened yesterday when I sorted out how to get my shopping done in a city that I didn't know, but I know more about it now. And that's the other thing is look for the good stuff. There's enough of the other stuff around. You don't have to focus on it. I choose to stay on path by looking at the interesting things. I choose to stay on path by looking at what works for me. You know, it's snowing here, as I mentioned at the top of the show, and people are like, oh no, it's snowing outside. And I said, isn't it wonderful that we're all inside with this amazing music to keep us warm? And they kind of looked at me. It's like, yeah, I mean, focus wherever you want. I'm going to go listen to some music. What would you like to do? And they're like, oh yeah, it doesn't matter if it's snowing outside. We're here. It's not like we're traveling across the country in bad weather. We're here. We're so funny as individuals. We tend to focus on the things that put us on the wrong side of the line. And I don't know whether it's our media or our upbringing or our parents or our, who cares? You can be empowered, be on path, and be where you want to be. I am being more on path every day, and it feels great. And that's the surrender statement. I am being on path more every day, and it feels great. So I hope some of those ideas and suggestions are giving you some things to think about, and I'd love to hear from you. You can connect with me on Facebook, Suze Casey author page. You can send an email to info@belieferepatterning.com. You can hop onto the blog and put a comment there. all kinds of ways that you could get a hold of me, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your experiences with repatterning. And I'd like to just close today by just reading a little section from the book, Belief Repatterning, the Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts. So last week we talked about being your own best Valentine, and this is page 183 and entitled, Become a Friend to Yourself. Remember, a belief is a thought held in place by emotions. Focusing on switching the emotion is the most effective way to change our thoughts and build supportive beliefs. Emotions are the language of our bodies and are a universal communicator. Regardless of what language we speak, everyone understands the language of emotion, and we constantly read it through body language. You're aware of your internal responses to the words of others. Now I'm encouraging you to shift your focus. Be aware of your body's response to what you say and think to yourself. So I'm going to read something aloud. I'm going to ask you to repeat it and note what your internal responses are. It doesn't matter how I talk to myself. It doesn't affect me. So I'll get you to repeat that. It doesn't matter how I talk to myself. It doesn't affect me. I'm just joking around when I tell myself that I'm not good enough. I'm just joking around when I tell myself that I'm not good enough or that I don't deserve good things or that I don't deserve good things. You may have had a physical response, and additional thoughts may pop into your head, or the flash of a memory may cross your mind. The image or voice of an influential person in your life might surface. Observe and listen to your internal responses. These are important indications of how you speak to yourself. If they move you closer to what you desire, your inner coach is strong. But unsupportive responses are the domain of your inner critic. And this is the kind of feedback you wouldn't say out loud to anyone else, or if you did, you wouldn't feel good about it. You understand the importance of keeping your thoughts positive, but are you aware of just how damaging it is to beat up on yourself? Most people haven't made the connection that their own negative thoughts directed inwardly are extremely harmful. When we allow our inner voices to engage in conversations that are judging, harsh, and unkind, we unknowingly create more damage to ourselves, to our sense of self, than is caused when someone else speaks that way to us. Intellectually, we recognize that judging harsh and unkind words reveal more about the person uttering them than the individual to whom they're directed. However, when these comments elicit an emotional response, that feeds our beliefs about ourselves. And when we send an unkind message, we often wish there was a rewind switch. When we're on the receiving end, we wish there was a delete button. Either way, our minds often take what has been said and hit the continuous replay button. We run the words over and over in our minds, embedding the negative impressions and expressions into our subconscious. And once embedded, these messages reinforce our beliefs about who we are and create our self-image. The good news is that you can use that same technique to put it on the upside of the line. I would love to hear from you. I would love to work with you and support you. I do offer coaching packages. You can find out about that by going to suzecasey.com. We launched a new website a couple of months ago. It's really pretty. I hope it's easier to navigate and that you can find what you need there. There's also over 100 hours of archived radio shows on CTR Network that you can poke around and give a listen to, and I would love to hear your comments. So do send me a note on Facebook or through info@beliefrepatterning.com. I'll be back next week, and I'm always interested in hearing what you would like me to address. And so we'll see you next week here on CTR Network for Flipping the Switch. I'm Suze Casey, reminding you that you can, and probably already are, repatterning absolutely anything you choose. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.
2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca. The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.